Hello and
Absolutely.
welcome, everybody. It's Why Should Your Team Win? And I'm your host, Katie. You guys, it's the off season and it's been pretty boring. The latest out of hockey land is Erik Karlsson finally signed with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Are they going to make it to the playoffs? Hell, will they get to the second round? Who knows? Anyway, you guys, it's a crossover time, baby.
Point,
Back
point,
with
point,
me
point,
is
point.
Yeah, back with me is Amy and her friend from the Hit Movie Podcast. I can't believe you made me watch that. They are in their second season of watching the best films of each year. So like and su subscribe, y'all. Now it's time for JCVD. Amy's friend, can you tell us a little bit about January before we get started?
Of course I can.
I see you're repping the gear. You got a
Oh
little
yeah,
Jean-Claude on the shirt.
of course I'm wearing my hard target shirt right now.
Oh.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is a action star of the late 80s, early 90s, when we were loving our action stars. But unlike our other action stars, your Schwarzeneggers, your Stallones, Jean-Claude never really did the family-friendly pivot to like mainstream stardom. He just always stayed doing weird sci-fi twin related Dennis Rodman. Like he just kept making weird action movies. Which
Well,
is why
before we, go ahead.
he's not he didn't get a long-term career out of any of that, but he gave us fans of shitty action movies a huge catalog of films to watch of low budget shot on video splits and high kicks.
Well, I mean, he's known for his terrible acting and the ability to do splits in between two semis.
That's right.
The muscles from Brussels, you guys were watching Sudden Death.
Yes.
As we get ready for the seventh and final game of the Stanley Cup Finals, you can feel the electricity in the air, and there's no question, it just sends a chill up your spine, Paul.
That's a fact, Mike. And to make things even more exciting, the Vice President of the United States is here this evening.
Don't leave your seats.
Doesn't look too good.
911 emergency services.
I'm calling you from the city arena. The vice president is being held hostage in the owner's box. And they've got my daughter too.
What is your objective?
$1,700,000,000.
We're still evaluating the situation.
They want money. A lot of it. Give it to them.
Do not try any kind of rescue. Do you understand me?
If you're not going to pay, say so. I'll get my daughter.
When the game ends, everyone in this box and in this arena will die by explosion, fire, and panic.
17,000 hockey fans have been taken hostage.
Enough bombs to plant in this building stop all the clocks in the hemisphere.
But only one of them knows it.
I'm gonna try to stop you.
I know where the bombs are, so I know where you're going.
Then come and get me.
We are gonna do this by the numbers.
What number was that?
No, he has more to lose than anyone.
I said no vehicles on the grounds, no helicopters in the air. What part of that did you not understand?
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Powers boost.
You guys,
And
I
it's a
was blown
classic.
away.
Yeah, yeah,
I've
yeah.
never seen it before.
This is
So.
incredible to me because you and I have watched some hockey movies together, and this is an all-timer of a hockey movie. January is when you watch Jean-Claude movies in January. It's a great way to start your year, a refresh, a reset. With an old friend who's still ready to bare his ass cheeks in any movie at any age. And Sudden Death is like maybe a top three Jean-Claude. And it's certainly a
It
top three hockey film. So I'm shocked that in both ways this has missed you.
See, I'm very familiar with Bloodsport.
Of course.
I've seen that too many times, and it's terrible. That's why we love it. I think he's stepped up his acting game. It's still bad, but his English is better. His accent is still prevalent. But how do we do this? Kai, do you tell me about the movie, and then how do we do this again? I'm
All
flipping
right,
the script. You guys are
I'll
in the seat.
Amy actually usually does all the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah,
So
Amy,
Ames,
do what
who's
you
in
do
this?
best.
What's going
Okay.
on here?
All right. Sudden Death came out in 1995, written by Gene Quintana. And if you guys haven't heard before, I always butcher people's names, so be prepared for that.
It's a delight.
Story by Carrie Elsie Baldwin, whose husband owns a hockey team. I
Yeah.
forgot the name of that real quick. But directed by Peter Hyams, who directs a lot of Jean-Claude films, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Powers Booth, Raymond J. Barry, Dorian Harwood, Ross Meleager, and Whitney Wright. But since this is a hockey podcast, I will just throw out these names real quick. There's quite a few on here. I don't recognize these names because whatever. But Pat Brinson, Jay Caulfield, Bill Clement, Ian Moran, Jeff Jimerson, Mike Lange, Luke Robitaille, Paul Sengwald, Marcus Naslund, Bernie Nichols, Kent
Oh,
Reggett,
that's just
and
so
John
cute, Amy.
Barbaro, and Mark Kowalski.
This
I'm
is
sure I butchered
your
all those names.
Amy has woken from nightmares in a cold sweat, which were name a hockey team roster.
Yeah, Luke Robitaille, Amy. Oh, he's the
Luke,
sweetheart.
lucky Luke, baby.
Yeah.
Jaromir Jagr, his name is dropped in this movie as well. If you like me were briefly super into hockey in like 1995, you were into the Penguins, you were into this movie. Jaromir Jagr was a fun name for you and your friends to say.
Well, Jaromir Jagr has the best hockey hair that's ever existed, ever. That mullet, that flow,
The
his
flow.
salad was amazing.
So choice.
But anyway, Kai, tell me about the movie. Is that what we go do next? Yeah.
Yeah, I can give
I'm
you a
drinking, you guys. Cheers.
But how about I don't
Cheers. Put it
cheers.
up on the glass.
I don't know much about hockey, so I'll do the film and you guys can talk hockey afterwards because I don't have much to say.
Hell yeah,
Let's
I'm
do
never going to turn away somebody else trying to do the plot summary because I am not good at that.
right. So we start off, we see this fireman, and he is holding a little girl and he's trying to save her. And all of a sudden the house explodes and she dies and he lives. And you can see a traumatized look on his face, and that fireman is Jean-Claude Van Damme. And
I
he's
was
cool.
stunned. This movie hits the ground running, in my opinion. You're like, whoa, damn, it's heavy right off the bat.
A movie that allows a child to die is letting you know that the stakes are extremely, extremely high. But a movie that lets a white child die is really letting you know that like anything could happen here. Like sometimes you'll see like the cop's black kid friend dies, and that's how you know things have gotten real. But like they never show a white kid dying, and this movie starts with it. This is what I'm talking about with Jean-Claude. Like his movies always went a little bit fucking further than other guys, and they were weirder, grosser, sleazier. Love it. Love
Yeah.
Jean-Barry.
Anyway, go on, Aim.
So it's 2 years later, and we find out that he has since gotten divorced. He's obviously suffering some trauma from it, which we don't really see in the film, but we're hearing about it.
He's not a
And
firefighter anymore.
yeah, he's no longer a fireman in the actual,
Can't
but
do
he's
it.
now a fire
PTSD.
marshal. So he is hired by people that do special events to check out the fire safety situation. And
Pretty
that's what
sweet
he
gig.
does. Yeah. And he gets, since he works there, he gets two tickets to the Stanley Cup, the seventh game between the Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Wait, so you mentioned he's divorced. Come on, the wife, he a child died in his arms. And she's like, "You're sad. I can't stand
I don't know if that's quite what she says, but like he clearly
it."
has like some unresolved shit that she couldn't live with. I'm not gonna hold it against her.
But he gets those two tickets and he wants to take his children to the game. And she's like,
Yes.
"We're going to dinner."
Well,
come on.
And again, to come from her angle, like, he is breaking visitation rights right now. Like legally,
yeah,
he's
trying
to kidnap the children. Now, if you're gonna break visitation rights, you better show up with two motherfucking tickets to game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, including like locker room visits and everything, which he does. So like, we can kind of see it from his angle, but like, if he had showed up and was just like, I'm taking him to the county fair, and it's just like, get the fuck out of here. It is not your weekend, bitch. Yeah. I get it. I see it from her side.
Sorry, I'm keep going.
and they find out that he has a son who is like 10, 8 or 10, and a daughter who's like 6 or 7. Young children.
Right.
So they go to the game. She gets to meet, oh, they're Penguins fans. So she gets to meet the lady inside the Penguin costume, which, what's his name? Mr. Icy? But it's actually a girl.
Yeah. Iceberg.
Iceberg.
But they call him Icy from time to time.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that's fun for her, but then he gets instructions for the two kids. He's like, all right, you two have to get along. I still have to work. This is my job, so I always come check on you periodically. You guys do not move from your seat. I don't care if the whole building is crashing down around you. You stay in these two seats. You do not leave.
And what did he sneak in?
A squirt gun. A super soaker. A mini super soaker.
Oh, and I love the brat soakers. For that.
Yeah.
Squirts his sister in the face.
Yeah.
Do not soak your sister. I don't know how to do a Belgium accent. Maybe Katie is going to be better at this, but I keep trying to sound like Schwarzenegger.
It's confusing because Belgium is technically three countries in one. He's not from the Flemish part. He's not from Wallonia, the French-speaking part. He's from Brussels, which is French-speaking, but it's Brusselier accent.
Mm. And then when he makes the crossover to America, they're just like, he's from Louisiana, he's Cajun, or he's Canadian. Like, that's the only things we can do with your voice
right now. I feel like they just ignore the accent.
Basically.
There's no explanation. He's mouthing the words to the Star Spangled Banner. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Amy, keep going.
I will say, in America, we have so many accents. He could be from America, you know. It doesn't matter because we're a nation of immigrants.
I guess I'll buy Cajun,
He mentions offhand that he played a little minor league hockey in Canada as a goalie. So that's where I'm getting it from. You know what I mean? When we watch Youngbloods, like Keanu Reeves, it's also like, oh, bonjour. And it's like, are we supposed to believe that this motherfucker's from Canada? I guess. It's fine.
It's terrible.
He does speak French in this film. So... that even helps the Canadian thing. So maybe he's part Canadian in this film. I don't know. He takes backstage. He gets to meet some of the hockey players. And this is where we find out that this is no ordinary Stanley Cup game. The vice president of the United States is going to be there. And
the most useless person.
I know. I was like, president.
Who cares about
they call
president.
The president? He's like, go ahead, shoot him. Like,
we're good.
What is he gonna do?
No, I mean, like, we'll probably get into it later. But the strategy with regards to we have the vice president definitely does seem to be we're not gonna pay, and we dare you to blow up the stadium. Like it really is Jean-Claude on his own here because they don't give a shit about any of these people. They're like, it's Pittsburgh. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no.
The igloo. Who cares?
Yeah.
We're going to get a new stadium in a few years anyway.
That's right. Well, this one got blowed up, so it's tough to...
Yeah. So we get there. We see there's a lot of people, like, breaking into, like, families' homes and threatening the cook's wife and threatening the cook. And they claim they're not terrorists, but so, like, the bad guys that are going to be doing all the... I guess it was combat guys. The goons.
I mean, the shit is Die Hard. You know what I mean? Like, if you've seen Die Hard, you know this movie beat by beat.
Yeah,
Die Hard vibes. It's also known as Die Hard on Ice.
Yeah. Basically. So that's what's going on there. And he accidentally, the daughter, after she gets Coke spilled on her, which a lot of
she got squirt in the face.
Yeah.
The brother was like,
he soaked her.
Yeah. So mean.
Yeah. But she goes and she goes to the bathroom. But in there is Iceberg. And not the same friendly Iceberg that she was used to a couple minutes ago. This one seems different. And Iceberg's holding a dead body.
It's a fucking horror scene. There's a bullet between her eyes and she's just like, like,
yeah, headshot.
And like falls on the little girl. It's like,
Yeah, drink every time there's a bullet between the eyes.
Oh my god.
Right. You're
we'll
gonna
talk about
out.
Body count later. Yeah.
Yeah, the body count is crazy. Just to get this out of the way, this entire movie is like officially licensed by both the NHL and the teams involved. You would never, ever see a remake of this movie because professional sports teams do not do this shit anymore. They do not lend their logos to movies where like a massacre happens in their motherfucking stadiums. They don't lend their championships to like vice presidents getting taken kidnapped by Paris terrorists. And they sure as shit do not let their fucking mascots grab little white girls by the hair and say, if you say anything, I'm going to kill your fucking mother. Like, what? fuck?
Well, Amy had mentioned this before. Howard Baldwin, he was the chairman of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was one of the film's backers, which is...
His wife told the story.
This was a money laundering thing, I'm pretty sure. This guy's shady.
Almost certainly.
And it was also filmed during the lockout.
Nice. So, nice. So that's helpful, too.
Yeah, half of these players... There was two AHL teams or two minor league teams, not actually. It wasn't really Yarm or Yager, you guys.
Yeah, they're not risking their ankles. It's a lockout.
That really was Luke Robitaille.
Yes.
Go on, Amy.
So
we're sipping. I love this movie, y'all.
And I loved it.
There is like some parts where like they get up to the presidential suite, the nice suites they have above the stadiums, and it's like, Power Booth talking about the vice president, like, yeah, I have bank accounts. You guys send me money each time, you know, every period. If I don't get the money, I'm going to kill someone. And then at the end of the game, I'm going to blow up everyone. But the best scene is going to be the mascot scene because Jean-Claude sees his little girl being taken and he comes down and starts fighting the mascot because he realizes, like, hey, you have my child. Where's my child? I love this scene.
The most brutal fight in the movie. Yeah. In the kitchen. Here's the thing. Like, if you're an action movie fan, what you love about an action movie isn't just the fights, but like a unique fight always takes into account the environment. And when you see the environment getting brought into it, you love what you're seeing. And that makes this movie special because we get a Jean-Claude fight in every possible way a hockey fan could want. You know, we get the fight in the kitchen at the stadium. We get the fight in the locker room. We get a fight in the weight room. We get a fight in the equipment room where they repair skates. And we get a fight on the ice, of course, because we'll get to it. Yeah. But Jean-Claude will enter the game of a Game 7 Stanley Cup. There's a fight on the roof of the stadium. Like, they always make use of the environment more than like Jean-Claude's fighting skills. And all of the fights are so choice, but this kitchen fight with Iceberg is out of control.
Cinematic glory. Because the stakes keep getting raised in this. Okay. First of all, the mascot, the woman in the suit, she gets kicked in the throat first. Right? Yes. That's how he starts it. You know, he's known for those high kicks, right?
He loves it.
She doesn't take off that head at all. But let's just talk the 10 things that happened to her. Boiling water down the Icy's face mask. Yes.
No, that's not the boiling water. That's grinder, her hands.
The meat that's... slicer. The hot grill. The fryer.
The oven fan.
The meat tenderizer.
The red pepper flakes.
Yes. I just like, okay, so mask of the mouth is where the eye holes are. And he just grabs a thing of red pepper flakes and like grabs her, like starts pouring it down her eyeball.
Like it's mace.
Yeah, but like that can only happen in a kitchen fight. You know what I mean? Like there's so much, all of this stuff makes this such a specific but memorable fight. Like this is the kitchen fight. She did.
The kitchen won the fight.
No, no, I'm saying if you're in a motherfucking mascot costume wearing ice skates and Jean-Claude Van Damme still is like barely getting by, like she should have beat his ass.
Well, that costume's also passed, so he's trying to kick her, but he's like, kick her and fall. She's like, that's not going to hurt me. And she's beating him up.
We all know you go for the middle.
Yeah.
In a mascot fight.
That's right. In a mascot fight, it's always the solar plexus, folks.
Yeah.
We all know.
And he was hitting the belly. That's not going to do anything. But
aim for the heart.
Even when he's like, lift her up in the fan, that the foam head just being destroyed, but she's like perfectly fine. It's like, okay,
so,
waste
so much happens in that scene. Like, I forgot that the fan.
No, it goes on for like 20 minutes. It's such a long fight. They really wanted to use every.
I know. He gets the garlic press. You know, the fucking dough roller or whatever, rolling pin.
No, when most people do a
the
kitchen
spaghetti
fight,
strainer,
they go for the knife block, but they didn't use a knife in this entire fight. They're like, no knives allowed. I won't use them. Everything else is fair game. Like, okay, Jean-Claude, let's get busy.
And then she's killed because there's a hole now in her mask and it gets looped around the dishwasher and she gets strangled.
Steamed to death.
With the second scene, I thought this was going to be a Die Hard ripoff where she comes back because her body misses, this goes missing. But I was disappointed when I didn't see her.
No, she stays dead.
Yeah.
We glazed over a little bit the stakes here, Amy. So I'm gonna rewind us a touch just because first of all, Powers Booth, our villain in this movie.
Yes.
I love Powers Booth.
As soon as I saw him, he wrote to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as I saw him, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be good. Like I don't know. As the movie progresses, I just kept getting more excited. There were points in the movie where I was like, shut up, Katie, play along.
I mean, for real. Just like, let this play out a little bit. Give him some room to breathe. Powers Booth is known for playing bad guys in movies. Most famously, perhaps, in Tombstone. So you know, you've seen him, you love him. He has that kind of deep Southern drawl. He's also in Avengers for a minute.
Deadwood,
but like, he's in a lot of things.
Tin City. Yeah.
Yes. Deadwood, very good.
I think he's in Cruising. If any of our listeners are watching, for like 2 seconds,
maybe. Nice. R.I.P. William Friedkin. So, R.I.P. Powers Booth. He passed away just a couple years ago as well.
Yeah.
So when we see him in this movie, we love him. He wants $1.7 billion with a B dollars, deposited in his offshore bank accounts. 1/3. For every period of this movie. So 1/3 needs to be in there by the end of the first period or else someone dies. Another 1/3 needs to be in there by the end of the second period or else 2 people will die. And if it's not all in there by the end of the 3rd period, everybody in the stadium dies. These are the rules he's told the vice president in the Secret Service. After the
and
first
he's not
period,
playing around.
That's right. After the first period ends, he points a gun at the mayor's wife and says, can we all agree the mayor's wife has been the most annoying? And then plugs her in the fucking chest. He's real. He's real.
I wrote that down.
We all can agree that she was the most annoying. She was crying nonstop.
It's tied 1-1 at this point, too, you guys. It's Pittsburgh Penguins versus Chicago Blackhawks.
And yes, Kate, maybe you can keep us appraised of like the hockey things that are going on here too, because this movie, even as like all the stuff is going on, like the hockey game is getting played out because that's our clock on this bomb. So it's a pretty crazy hockey game.
Well, it's, you know, fast, but they don't really show any like slick plays or anything, nothing too crazy. They just show like rushes up and down the ice. And it's actual hockey players, just actually minor league players. Besides Lou Robitaille.
The naked guy with the jockstrap on his head, is he anyone or is he just a naked
They're all made up names. Like Tolliver, the goalie for Pittsburgh, that was
Brad Tolliver, made up.
But that guy was an actual goalie and he lit. No, the actual goalie of the Penguins lit the movie, use his equipment because it was the lockout year.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, you can use it, but I won't be in the movie. I don't want to be attached to this.
The naked guy you're talking about, Amy, in the movie, his name is like Duckerman or something. I looked it up and was disappointed to find out that despite seeing his butt and everything, this Brock Lesnar looking dude was not a real hockey player, or at least not a real Pittsburgh Penguin. He probably played in Canada. You know, who hasn't at this point?
Oh yeah,
Keanu Reeves, Jean-Claude, everybody's played up in Canada a little bit. Come on.
There's that scene where, like, are you guys gonna vote for me? They're like, we're all Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are we? The kitchen fight ends. What's next?
Okay, so it's 1-1 in the second period. The second period is about to start.
Yes, yes, and we killed the mayor's wife.
Of course, JCVD goes right up to a goon, being like, oh, the terrorists are here. Yeah. And he's like, oh,
he does this like four times in the movie. He talks to like five different people for help, and they're all secretly terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in the beginning, when the goons have the fake badges, like, this is a well thought out heist. They got fake badges, uniforms, everyone's on the point, whatever. And I love his security badge because he's wearing his sunglasses, like his goon glasses.
That's famously how we do them.
Yeah. So he goes up to that goon.
And the guy's like,
another kitchen fight.
Another kitchen fight. And he's like, oh, Penguin, you mean Carla? And he's like, I don't know how Jean-Claude Van Damme knew her name was Carla. But he's like, how did you know it was Carla? And they start fighting. And there's a giant block of uncovered dry ice just sitting in the middle of the kitchen.
You know, this is a top full kitchen.
That's right. You gotta have
Michelin. Yeah, every hockey arena has this.
Yeah.
Especially the one in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Not Madison Square Garden, the igloo. Yeah.
Yes.
So he takes him, and Jean-Claude, of course, can like high kick him in the throat, and then grabs him and throws his face on the block of, and starts burning, freezing burning him with dry ice. Like, and the guy's like,
which legit hurts.
Yeah, you have to use gloves when you're touching dry ice. That shit is fucked up.
Yeah, 30 seconds, you're, my God. You know, especially who was pressing his face in it.
Yeah, you'll lose an ear.
Sizzle, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, here's the plan. We're bank robbers, and we're robbing the bank, and we're robbing all these monies, and whatever. He gives the whole plan, and there's 12 bombs. He spills
the beans, yep.
What a terrible goon, but... moves the plot around pretty fast, because now Jean-Claude knows that there's... Oh, and he kills him, but he can't take his gun because it falls in the same hour.
Tell how he kills him, Amy. They're still in the kitchen, so they've already gone through every utensil. So there happens to be a turkey bone hanging around.
Oh!
And he
snaps
it in half like it's a champagne bottle and gets him right in the jugular, right in the neck.
Stabs him in the neck with a fucking turkey leg.
I couldn't have written it any better.
Très magnifique. Jean-Claude.
Très bien.
Oh, and since we're not going to be in the kitchen really anymore in this film, I just have to break this little fun fact. Jean-Claude Van Damme is an extreme vegan. So do you remember those shrimps at the beginning of the film that they're making a giant shrimp cocktail?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's ballistic gel.
Ooh.
So half the budget went to making these little tiny shrimps out of ballistic gel, which is expensive.
Okay.
And painting it, like they're painting on legs and eyeballs, and they're.
You know what?
All right, diva.
It's humane. You know what? He has principles. All of the cocaine he was snorting at this time was also 100% vegan. Is locally sourced, ethically produced, and that's what's important.
Indeed.
I don't know. When we were talking about Street Fighter a couple months back, a fun fact for that was he was so barred out that like he had trouble remembering lines and everything. Like Jean-Claude is kind of like hitting it right now. He's fucking going crazy. It's a real treat. And John Woo, I want to say, I read an article with him. He was talking about Hard Target, and he was like, yeah, Jean-Claude was like on his phone all the time talking to like agents, managers, you know, worried about how much money he was making from this or that. Like his biggest concern was just like making it big. So like, yeah, he's gonna be a little bit of a diva, but it's important to him. And
honestly, as an artist, he should have, you know, as many privileges as they'll give him.
I bet you the crew dipped like shrimp in his water and he didn't know about it.
or like their dicks. Like, here's your vegan water.
Here's your tea bag, sir.
Yeah, we all know you don't piss off a chef. It's not going to end well.
All right, so where are we at in the movie?
So he goes...
turkey bones in the neck.
Yeah. And he calls 911. He finds, like, a satellite phone, and it's, like, a suite. Calls 911. They switch him to... we haven't mentioned him yet, but there's a Secret Service agent responsible for all the other Secret Service agents who all been murdered inside the building. No one's noticed this.
Yep.
But they've all been murdered. And his name is Hallmark? And he calls...
Hallmark.
Yeah, it's like Brad Hallmark or something. What a shitty name.
Yeah, terrible.
And he is telling him, like, oh, yeah, there's terrorists everywhere, there's bombs everywhere. Every time he tries to send Secret Service in to help him, there's a bazooka, there's a bomb, there's a sniper. It's...
Well, not to mention, okay, so about 3 bombs go off in the parking lot. And no, everyone's none the wiser in the stadium. They're just keep cheering for the game. You know, yeah, I think they could get away with that in Canada, but not in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
With
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, Canadian fans are more like crazy.
They tailgate just as hard as anybody. You go to a Steelers game.
So yeah, but then magically Hallmark is able to sneak in. And doesn't get shot like all the other guys had failed. And Jean-Claude immediately goes up to him and says, hey, I have a son here too. And he's sitting in this seat, D10.
And again, we just need to point out that, like, several people Jean-Claude has approached at this point have betrayed him. And Powers Booth himself has told him, we have people everywhere. But Jean-Claude is taking zero precautions with regards to anybody could be my enemy stuff right now. He is just like, oh, you seem friendly. Will you be my friend? And it's like, oh, bud.
So it's 2-2. It's a pretty exciting hockey game. And the announcers are the real announcers from the Pittsburgh Penguins. I didn't catch their names, but those were the dudes. Ashley Collins.
You know they're real announcers because they're using idioms and catchphrases that you would
back with
never,
the hacksaw.
You would never make up if you were an actor playing an announcer. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, I'll buy him a drink and one for his dog. Yeah. Like, oh, this guy's just from
Pittsburgh. Out of the way, Granny. It's bingo. Right?
That's right. That's the good shit. That's the good shit. I hope those guys are still alive and still calling games.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite was more moves than Mae West.
That's like, right. That's a very timely reference in
1995. Yeah. He's been using that since he got hired in the 60s. But
yeah, since he got divorced from Mae West. So yeah, he's kind of trying to hook up with this Secret Service guy, but it's pretty quickly revealed Secret Service guy. Uh-oh, he's also a motherfucking terrorist.
Son of a bitch. He switcheroos. He's a bad guy. He's double agent. And then they start looking for the son. My favorite is when the goons are walking down the aisles looking for them. And, like, there's my favorite goon is the Gucci goon. He's wearing, like, the Gucci shirt.
Yeah.
And good nobody. Gucci goon. Yeah, Gucci goon. Anyway,
he's
Amy, keep going.
Serious.
He makes some homemade weapons, takes out some goons, but now they know it's about the bombs, and he's like, oh, there must be this many bombs, and being a fire marshal, I know where I think they would be the most structural damage, but also, I know how to disarm a bomb. I'm pretty sure that's a different department, but...
Always cut the yellow wire.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah, he seems to have a lot of skills that I wouldn't necessarily attribute to a fireman slash minor semi-pro hockey goalie, but he's definitely beating the ass of a lot of Secret Service agents, and he definitely knows how to defuse improvised bombs throughout the stadium. So you just kind of have to go with it. With a Jean-Claude movie, you just kind of like, he has secret skills that don't necessarily make sense, but we got to keep this movie going. Yeah. So it's fine. We love
also-
it.
It's worth mentioning the Zamboni scene. They had to sneak that in where.
Hell yeah, there's a Zamboni scene. This is a hockey movie.
Yeah, well, it's a horror movie, you guys, because the guy's dead behind the wheel, and then it crashes near, like, every squad car in Pittsburgh is in the parking lot at the igloo. And then the front opens, all the ice comes out, and there's two more Secret Service agents.
There's four Secret Service agents bundled into there, and they all just, like.
Yeah.
Humble out. You're right. This is like a horrific moment.
The terrorists are taunting at this point.
But to get back to your point, the spectators at this thing, like, you're gonna notice if the Zamboni doesn't come out after the second period to clean the ice.
Yeah. But
I guess that's just not happening at the fucking Game 7 of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. No Zamboni this time. That's probably fine. I bet the players and the coaches won't say shit about that. The ice just being like fucked up for the third period.
Okay, so here we're at, you know, Die Hard on Ice. He found the blueprints out of nowhere. So he starts looking for the bombs. It's 2-2 at the second period. At the end of the second period.
Yes, yes. And die. Yeah, Powers Booth kills a couple people. And all this time, Jean-Claude is just kind of fighting his way through the stadium still. We have the weight room fight and the equipment room fight. And then after that is when Brad Tolliver, our fake goalie, he's got 104 fever. I was moving us forward because I didn't know how far we were. It's all you, dog. You got this.
Which, by the way, they do have the room fight, but like they're still in third period. Those guys still can walk the ice, and no one knows. Like there's bullet holes and broken mirrors everywhere.
There's not a trainer.
Nope.
Yeah, why is he covering bullet holes and bleeding? maybe the goons are cleaning up everything afterwards. I don't know. But he confrontates his son's super soaker, turns into a flamethrower, and that's how he takes out Hallmark. And then
That would have been like a pathetic drip. And the guy lit up like he was made out of dryer lint. I don't know.
He goes up. He like
he didn't pump it though.
Like, yeah, exactly. There's no pressure behind this. It would have just been like you're saying, like a little dribble, like a porn star jizz shot, just like blip blip blip. Yeah, pathetic. But when he hits him with the spark, he goes up like a fucking Christmas tree in March. You know, he's like so dry. Like the entire hallway goes up. Everything he touches catches flame immediately. It's fucking nuts how fucking flammable this dude is. And maybe racist how flammable he is. I don't know about that movie, but yeah. Everything.
And because this is kind of like a horror movie, he does have the second scare. But
always a second scare. And he looked like he just was in the burn unit for 12 weeks already. And he's like, I got no eye.
Man, this movie rules.
But then he's going the bombs. He's calling Powers Booth on the phone himself. And he's like, you hurt my daughter. I'm going to kill you. And he's like, okay, oh, a new game. I find all the bombs. I win. You win, whatever.
Which is the same game we were playing. I don't know why he thought he had to explain the new rules to the game or anything, but like that is the game we're already playing, dude, which is you have to find the bombs or they will blow up at the end.
And like the guy is like a psychopath. He literally won't care if you find the bombs or not. He still has a gun and goons with machine guns. It doesn't matter. Well,
and he clearly has a plan that includes killing everyone no matter what. Like he's ready for them to all go off. He'll shoot them off right now. It's just like he's waiting for more and more money to come in by the end of the game. Like he doesn't care. He has an escape strategy already. None of this matters to him. The vice president's dying. Everyone's dying.
Then they go back into the locker room. No, this is when
it's 3-2. Ron Francis scores. He's real. And then it's 3-3, Tolliver. It's Game 7. He escapes.
Oh, we lost you for a second.
To the bench, he says, "Coach, I feel like shit." Can you believe that?
Hockey players always like to pretend they're the fucking tough. Like every time the NBA finals and the NHL finals are all happening at the same time, hockey Twitter is obnoxious because they come out whenever like LeBron has to sit down because of like dehydration or like twisted his ankle or something. They're like, wow, in hockey, you could cut his fucking head off and he'd still be taking his, you know, turn on the rotation. Exactly. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Matthew Tkachuk played with a broken sternum in game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You guys ever broke your sternum? You can't even breathe.
And this motherfucker's like, coach, I feel like shit.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, get to the locker room.
I guess we'll just use whoever as our goalie in game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. Folks, you're going to hear me say that a million more times. because
game 7. Everything on the line. Everything you've worked your ass off for.
Who gives a shit? Yeah, in game 6, you can have 104 and take a breather. But in game 7, who gives a fuck? Puke in the crease, bitch. It's go time. Yeah, so
Tolliver goes to the locker room, and he's just laying out. Okay, you got 104 fever, and you're still in your gear. Gross. Yeah. You're like, you'd think you'd take off your helmet at least.
He's got his sleep apnea mask on over the helmet.
So the goons are looking for JCVD. And, you know, he's clever. And he puts on fucking Tolliver's gear. And this is, you know, the point where I'm like, shut up, Katie, play along. Because, like, the guy would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Get away from
he's
me.
He's like,
you know,
passed out. And then the next thing he's full uniform with skates and helmet.
Okay.
And the next thing he's naked.
I will just say before you go too far that like when I had COVID 2 years ago and my temp was 104, 105, somebody could have undressed me and I wouldn't have known. Whatever, beautiful angel. Thank you. Yeah. And then like whatever happens, happens. Your brain is boiling. I have no idea.
How long do you think it takes to put on hockey gear or goalie hockey gear?
This is the
sometimes
thing.
You need someone to help you.
When time is a factor, Jean-Claude is wasting a lot of, and the time it would take him to doff all of the gear and then don all of the gear, he could have just hid in like a really good hiding spot.
All right, it's a hockey movie. And that's so he's wearing the gear and he goes back and he thinks he's going to sit on the bench and like hide out. And the coach's like, oh, you're back with 104 fever? You're going back on the ice. And he's like, So they put him back on the ice. And
so, again, we just need to reiterate that Jean-Claude Van Damme is taking the net in period 3 of game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final with his team down 4-3. This is an insane thing to be happening in any film. And yet, it happened. They're doing it.
Yeah. Just to speed this part up, he's on there and he has to make a save and it's like a game winning save. And then he has to get back off the ice. So he goes up to a Red Wing.
Don't you dare skip past. He makes that save. And then a weird plot thread in this movie is the sign language thing that him and his kids have going on. They're all like learning sign language. And the only sign language they learn is how to say, I love you, because everyone in 1995 knew how to say, I love you in sign language. And so in the middle of the game, after he makes this save, he stops everything. Yes. Yeah, save of
wicked glove save
of Brad Tolliver's life. It's the best save he's ever made. He throws the gloves off. Like, this is not a stoppage in play. he stops. And he signals to his son in the crowd the I love you sign language sign. And his son's like, Dad, what?
Why does he need to give out his position? You know, why does he need to let his son know?
It's like, nuts because his son doesn't act.
I see you
on
every other weekend, but hey.
I love you. Yes, he does the sign language. And then the son is like, is that my dad? He never mentions it later in the movie. He's not like, Dad, was that you? I meant that. He never like realizes like, hey, if my dad is playing goalie in this game, maybe something terribly wrong is happening and I need to like go find out what's going on. He doesn't do it. It never pays off in any way. It's just like a little moment for like a father who loves his son. So he does the sign language on the fucking ice. Ah, unbelievable.
And then
what a movie.
His next immediate thought is, I got to get off the ice. So he gets a game misconduct by sucker punching a dude.
That's right. We have another fight, which is acceptable this time. This is the least remarkable fight in the movie because it's just a hockey fight. He just skates out of the crease a little bit and just like throws down and like right cross. This dude fucking drops. This is, and Katie, you're the hockey expert here, but if a goalie makes a save, is that more or less valuable than getting a major misconduct for punching a dude, putting your team down? Like this is a power play, right? Do they get to
put He would never play again. Like, his season's done. Like, he'll never play for an NHL team.
This is the worst thing that can happen, right? Because it's,
yeah, it's like he changed his career. 5-4,
no goalie.
Yeah, well, it's 4-3. And
No. I mean, the manpower. It's five guys against four, and there's no goalie. It's like you pulled the goalie on a power play, but like, you don't get the man advantage. It's crazy right now.
It's incredibly stupid. He should have just stayed. But anyway.
He should have just fucking fainted. Like, pretend to faint, and they'll haul you out no matter what. Like, this is the worst possible way to do this.
Well, and then there's that, they kind of see it for just like a split second, but you see Tolliver walking up the stairs to look at the game. And they just never really mention it, because they could have sorted this out. They're like, Tolliver, you're out of the game. And he's like, I'm right here.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
But then,
everyone's listening probably knows what goalie mask looks like. But the bad guy got enough of Jean-Claude's face to see through the hockey mask.
Yeah, that was nonsense.
It's him.
He's like, that's the guy I'm looking for. He's on the ice.
Yeah.
And then that fight, they wasted an opportunity to slice the goon's throat. When he did another throat kick, that would have been great.
We needed it.
But no, he just did a high kick.
If this movie is missing anything, it's a little bit of nudity would have been great. If they could have gotten it male or female, doesn't bother me either way. We just could have used Jean-Claude's butt cheeks or like Iceberg's boobs as they're doing change. Yeah. Like just something, just a little
for
something.
Sure.
And a throat slashing with a hockey skate. These are the two things that's, and this movie didn't miss many opportunities, but I think those were two.
And then that goon, he had a pretty horrible end. He got his hand stuck in like the skate sharpener.
Yes. He, like, they have a press, like a die press. I'm sorry. This is terrible for anyone who's never worked in like a workshop or anything, but like a drill press or a die press that like pushes through extremely tough metals. They just put it right through his fucking hand. And this guy is like, he's done. That's over. Beats the shit out of him after that. That's pretty gruesome for me. I loved watching it. As someone who's worked in a workshop and in a major kitchen, in both instances, these were fun fights for me. I was like, again, way to use the environment. This movie is just maybe the best action movie I've ever seen that uses, it's all environment.
Well, yeah, and the stakes keep getting higher and higher. I mean, the action does not stop.
Nope.
So it's nearing.
Well, and you also notice they go from like the locker rooms, the subterranean levels to the roof. You know, they use the whole stadium. They go from the bottom to the top. It's incredible.
Yeah. So at this point, Jean-Claude's able to take off his whole entire hockey gear, goalie hockey gear, in 2 seconds and redress as a fireman.
Yep.
And then he finds
he was wearing his street clothes under the goalie's pads. It's ridiculous. Yeah. He's wearing jeans, like Levi's.
Yeah, like 501 button your flies.
Yeah. But Jean-Claude's, they're nice and tight. But then he also finds like a 50-yard rope, and he's just carrying that. And I don't know why, he now runs outside, climbs up the dome of the stadium, like bolt by bolt, and fights some goons on the roof of the dome.
On the dome, baby!
Well, and then opens it, which they don't explain why he's opening this.
And no one would have noticed it opened like a 12-foot gap in the ceiling.
No one notices that the dome starts opening in the third period of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Before the dome opening, Lucky Luke Robitaille, he scores with 1 second left of the third period, because we know what's at stake here. Powers Booth has the bomb. He's going to blow up everything at the end of the third period. But Lucky Luke gets that goal to tie it to go to sudden death.
Overtime. That's right. And at this moment,
drink, name of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. We're all going to drink here. But at this moment in the film, not only does the scoreboard at the center ice like begin flashing the words sudden death, and the announcers are like, and we're going to sudden death, like everything goes like really hammering at home. Like, it's not just you in your seat watching the movie being like, oh yeah, sudden death. Like, the movie is like, no, sudden death. Like, oh, all right, I get it. But yeah, four different ways you're let known it is sudden death. I don't understand why Powers Booth didn't just, like, the deal was at the end of the third period, not at the end of the game. You know what I mean? Like, he can still just do his shit right now.
Yeah.
And get away scot clean.
He's not foiled.
Ah, they got me with the overtime clause.
Yeah.
Right.
He must be a hockey fan. He's like, it's the seventh cup.
That's right. He's like, oh, this is a good fucking game. I gotta see how this shit ends.
Chicago hasn't won it since 61. I gotta know how it ends.
Is Mario still on the team at this point? It's 95. It's the Penguins. His name, Lemieux, isn't mentioned once. And I feel like this is prime Lemieux time.
Right? But it was during the lockout year. And remember, Lemieux also had Hodgkin's lymphoma. He had cancer and he was out for a little bit, but he was on the roster. So I don't know why they didn't mention him at all. Yeah.
We would have loved to see.
One of the best players of all time.
And he's a part owner of the team now, yeah?
Yeah, he saved them. I mean, they almost sold the team
right
before the 2000s, yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt again, Ames. We're in the home stretch. Let's send it on home.
So one of the bad guys fall from the roof and dangles for a little bit. I don't remember how Sean Claus gets back to the building, but
it's like an American Ninja Warrior at this point.
All pull-ups, baby. It's all upper body strength.
Yeah. But he everyone lands is on the dangling at this point.
Yeah, the kid is dangling and she's like,
there's mayhem first. There's
that's right. But I just mean, like, everyone is doing pull-ups in this movie from here on out.
Yeah. Everyone runs out when someone falls on the Jumbotron, the sparks are flying. To me, I'm like, oh my god, this is so cool. And I'm sitting there watching.
Is this a part of the game?
I'm like, I gotta see how this ends.
Yeah. But everyone starts fleeing. He hops on the light trolley. He has a bomb made of like vinegar and like baking powder.
Yeah, it's baking soda and vinegar.
Yeah, like baking soda powder.
It blows an 8-foot hole in the wall.
Jumps in, kills all the terrorists in the room, saves the vice president, except Power Booth escapes. And he gets his daughter. He does not grab his son quite yet. The son's just like sitting there and he's saving his daughter. Then all these bombs start going off because he didn't get all of them. And they're next to water mains. So the whole stadium's just flooding. People are like surfing down the hallways, and then the little girl sees a stamp on Power Booth's hand because she's snapping with this. She gets kidnapped. He's wearing a disguise. She gets they go back on the roof. It's like, just let the little girl go. Just like kick her aside and run to the roof. Like, you would have been fine, but you had to take the daughter again. The helicopter comes. I thought he was going to close the roof and trap the ladder, but no. They do another.
Even better.
No.
So, Power Booth climbs up the ladder. He makes a shot but misses, but gets Sean Cloud in his shoulder. But he's able to jump up onto the ladder behind Power Booth, grabs a gun, shoots both the pilots and the guy next to Power Booth. And the helicopter goes vertical.
He shoots the pilots. The bullet goes under the chin. It's epic.
He shoots them all from beneath them. So, like, it goes up through their taint and their jaw and shit.
And like the helicopter goes
Kate, super apologize. I know we're like an hour into this, but big apologies if this is not a cussing ass podcast.
Oh no,
because I've been so cussing excited. The whole. Yeah, okay.
You're just like beep, 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 beep,
I
beep.
I opened beer number two, so it's fine.
And it's like 9% by volume. Well, done.
These ones are okay. These ones are only 6.5, so.
Christ.
Well, yeah. I made up a new drink. Coors Light, cherry vodka, and amaretto.
Hey, cheers. Mine is just a massive screwdriver and like a 40-ounce mason jar, so that's fun.
Well, I know you're an Avs fan, so I was like, how do I make a maroon drink? But I don't know how to do that. And so I'm just mixing things together.
Should have made a Red Wings drink.
Okay, so the pilot gets shot in the mouth. You know, it's funny because prior to this, you know, Powers is in his fake mustache. He's got his getaway costume ready. And
he's wearing a Penguin starter jacket. Can we just say, like, the starter jacket game up in this movie was so fucking good? Oh, yeah. These are sports fans.
He's laughing it up. And then suddenly, the you know, Emily's hanging from the ceiling, blah, blah, blah. The pilots get shot in the mouth. And then the fucking helicopter goes down like the Titanic.
So slow.
But it's like a slow descent down the igloo.
Perfectly in a perfect straight line.
Perfectly vertical.
Go straight into the little tiny gap where like the little girl barely fell in.
Yeah.
I don't know how the helicopter is going to move, but it goes in, hits the rest of the Jumbotron, and explodes. And Power Booth, there is like 12 close-ups of shots of his face. He's like, little girl, Power Booth. Jean-Claude, Power Booth.
Jean-Claude, no!
Power Booth on fire. Oh. It's great. And the little girl's like, you are a firefighter, Dad. And
yeah, Tyler's proud again.
And the credits
never
roll.
Left his seat. Yeah.
That's it. Like, there's no nothing after this. Like,
my daddy's a fireman.
Yeah. Helicopter blows up on the fucking ice. My daddy's a fireman. Get the fuck out of this credits theater. Roll. The movie is over.
Yeah. We don't know who wins the Stanley Cup. It doesn't.
We don't even know what their plan is. Like, I was going to ask you, Kate, like, what the fuck do you do in a situation like this? Replay the game?
You know, I had all these questions written down that I didn't do any research because I'm lazy. No, but I, you know, if someone is listening and they could drop in, has a game ever been canceled? I mean, due to like terrorist activity. Happens?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think maybe in 1919 when it was the Spanish flu or some shit like that, or like COVID, the bubble, 2020, sure. You know, something like that. But yeah, I bet you Gary Bettman was like, it's still overtime, fellas. There's a rink in Philadelphia. We can hop on over.
That is true. And it was a tied game. So you could technically just be like brand new, just like start sudden death over again.
But yeah, so they were throwing around a lot of names that are familiar. I mean, obviously, Luc Robitaille was the star of the movie. He has a little scene where he speaks French to French speaker Jean-Claude. That's cute.
Yeah.
And then Ed Belfour is in net. And you guys know Ed Belfour won a national championship with the University of North Dakota.
Woo-woo. Oh, I only know Eric Belfour from 6 Feet Under, the actor.
Oh, no, I don't know. But yeah, Ed Belfour, he also won a Stanley Cup with Dallas in 99.
Boo.
I know.
We do not acknowledge Dallas.
Well, no, I'm just saying Ed Belfour. I mean, he was last goalie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Jaromir Jagr. I was waiting for the Lemieux cameo, but that never happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, excuse me, Jagr didn't actually play. I'm sorry, that right. Beer burp.
Beer burping over here. Babe, I'm like crazy over here. Yeah. And I've got like drunk hiccups like from a 1940s movie, like don't even trip, you're good.
But I guess Jaromir Jagr wasn't happy with the thought that, you know, the game was 4-4 and he was on the ice for 3 of the goals, so he had a -3 and he's like, no, that's not me. I'm one of the best people to ever play.
In sudden,
you know, motherfucker
apparently
is still playing.
No shit.
Yeah, well, he's playing in Europe. He owns a team because he is from the Czech Republic. So he owns a team there. And if he's not on the roster, no one's going to go see and the team's going to go under. So he's kind of like stuck.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, that sucks.
But I think he's like 50.
Yeah, like, let the man fucking retire. Can we get another Czech superstar or what?
I know. I think there was like a conspiracy theory that he would still be in the NHL, but they didn't want him breaking Gordie Howe's record. That's a conspiracy theory.
And he's not able to break Gordie Howe's record because he's not good enough. He's worse than Gordie Howe. I think we can all agree.
Oh my God. Mr. Elbows is a different, the game has changed, but Gordy is a legend.
For the worst.
And, yeah, I'm glad that record will, I mean, all of Gordy's records have been broken pretty much, but
almost
by Mr. Wayne Gretzky, but
it's fine. You know, your records get broken, but when people still remember you after all your records have been broken, that's how you know you're great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Gretzky's will be broken one day, but we're not going to forget.
Oh no. Gretzky's untouchable. I mean, Ovechkin maybe will break his goal record, but I mean, he's not touching all-time points.
Everyone says that shit, but like, they're getting faster and stronger and bigger, and the games are reconfiguring the rules to kind of like favor high scores and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, I don't
it's
know,
a matter of time, man. Another Wayne will come along, something better than Wayne. We all thought Jordan was going to be the dude, and like, in our lifetimes, we've seen Jordan become eclipsed. He's not the greatest of all time.
Oh my God, who is the greatest all time?
LeBron.
Who's
is
the
much
GOAT
better than
basketball?
Jordan. LeBron is much better than Jordan.
Hot take.
It's not that hot of a take.
I don't know.
He's
six
better.
Rings.
Whoopty shit. A lot you can get six rings easy nowadays. Steph Curry's
Amy's
got four
like
and he's
snoring.
Just fucking hanging out.
Amy's asleep.
Amy died. Oh no. She went through an industrial dishwasher and that's
I'm not a LeBron hater. I think I probably liked him better than Kobe, RIP. But yeah, Kobe 20 years. I mean LeBron 20 years. Is he playing next season? I think
he wants to play with his kid. Right.
His kid had the one that had a heart attack. Yeah.
His kid had a heart attack.
Youth
heart attacks
play.
Are very common in basketball.
Well, I mean,
again, because
soccer.
Faster and bigger.
Sport.
And but like, you know, we've seen Shohei in baseball. We've seen Pat Mahomes. You know, like we were like Joe Montana, best who's ever going to do it. And like Joe Montana, who right now, frankly,
yeah.
like we've seen better in every generation.
Well, no,
and it's going to happen in
Gretzky,
hockey too.
Well, they always say different eras. And I don't, you know, I don't really follow other sports as much as I do hockey. But like, yeah, in the 80s, goalies looked like, you know, they were wearing twigs. And,
right.
You know, and then like the 90s, early 2000s, they were wearing pads that looked like boxcars.
Yeah, here's a Sealy Posturepedic on each leg. Best of luck.
Yeah, like, so basically. So, I mean, Gretzky, and plus he had a great team. I don't know. I think the best player now is probably McDavid, and he's not close to Gretzky at all.
No, I don't think it's going to be
somebody who's
playing right now, but like there's
Gretzky
a
scored
kid.
212 points in one season. That's never going to happen again.
There's a kid who's
going to do it. McDavid did 150. Bedard?
There's a kid who's going to do it. There's
out there. He's the next hope right now.
There's a 7-year old. There's a 5-year old. But like we are specializing these kids more and more. They're all just going to hockey
kind of
academies.
Like the kid that's going to Mars has already been born.
Right. Like the kid who's going to like put Barry Gretzky has already been born. But you know, we just don't know who it is yet. And they'll probably be a Red Wing, and that's all we can hope for.
I don't know. I think the game has changed so much that like everyone on the game on the ice is good and everyone can score. Where back in his day, you had the stay-at-home defenseman. You had it's just different. I don't know.
There is something to be said for being like the first actually good hockey player in a league that's basically like no Soviets. Right. and a lot of amateur dudes who would never make the league now. But like he's like, oh, great. I get to play against a bunch of high school dudes. Goal. So that's fair. If there's anything that's going to stop that from happening, it's because the league is like truly worldwide now. But I do still think they get better with every generation, and our 40-year-old asses are going to see our heroes get eclipsed. That's just the way the game
goes. No, I think, I mean, the numbers, there's just no way to catch Gretzky, though. I mean, there's just no way. You got to look at the numbers, man. There's just, it's not happening. Amy.
I get it.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Amy. Who's your favorite hockey player?
Wow, that was a really unfair question.
You're supposed to say Jean-Claude Van Damme, Amy. Come on. That was a gimme.
Amy, let's go behind the scenes of this movie. What do we have going on there? Do you have anything?
I just mentioned the hockey people that played, and then we got the owner's wife wrote the movie. Oh, this movie got remade.
How?
Unfortunately.
when they first wrote this movie, it was supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah.
And
that's why they left the mascot scene in.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Which was the best scene in the whole entire movie, which I am so glad. That was, they wrote the first script. And that's the only thing
I really like the rooftop fight too. I will say at one point the roof opens while they're fighting on it, and there's a lot of like camera shots that like start at ice level and then like crane all the way up to the top of the roof, and you see them rolling around up there as the game's going on below them and the crowds, the stands are full. Like, these are pretty impressive shots, especially for a Jean-Claude movie, but like in any action movie, the rooftop fight was chef's kiss. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, the goons were pretty tight. I mean, they had the bazooka ready for the helicopter.
Yes.
They were ready for it.
Yeah, they were ready for everything. Except for JCVD.
Yeah. The remake came out in 2020 and it says, "Welcome to Sudden Death." And again, I'm not as good. I mean, I'll watch sports, but I don't know them as well. It's a basketball movie. Is there sudden death nonsense. In basketball?
Oh my god.
No.
I don't think there was.
There's overtime, but
there's overtime, but it's not sudden death. It's not first bucket gets the game. Like sudden death means something.
Yeah. So yeah. And they almost made a part two, but the box office numbers was not quite where they wanted them to be.
Yeah, how would they have done part two? Would they still have kept hockey, or would it have been a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm saying they're already in like game seven of hockey. Like, yeah, you'd have to do something where it's like either a walk-off home run in baseball or like next team to get in football. Sudden death was like next team to score, and like a field goal would do it. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
No, they should make a part two. They can still have Jean-Claude come back, or
it has to be Jean-Claude.
So I'm going to do a little quiz about the body count in this number. So I'm going to do an A, B, or C, and you're going to tell me which is right. About the body count. Was the body count A, 17, B, 26, or C, 36?
Amy, you go first.
Well, I know the answer, I'm pretty sure.
Well, fuck you! I'm gonna say C.
I'm gonna say C as well.
Yes! Yes!
Because this movie was brutal. Okay, so it opens up with the death of a child, and then they kidnap that innocent Mrs. Ferreira, and then they put a bullet between her eyes.
Yeah, old lady, young kid, doesn't matter. Everyone between 8 and 83, you are fucking meat.
No one has plot armor in this movie.
Love it. Should we rate this bitch?
Yeah, how many hockey pucks do you give it, Aim?
How does the hockey puck rating system work? On our podcast, we usually do the more, the worse it is. But is more hockey pucks good?
Yeah, you know, 5 out of 5 pucks is like, wow, this was amazing.
Ooh, Ames. How do you rate Sudden Death?
I actually was really enjoying it. I know it's like not a good movie, but at the same time, like, it was really good. Like, all the acts, the mascot scene is 3 pucks alone. So, even though there might be some faults, I'm not going to get into them because this is a dumb, fun action movie. So, I'll give it I'll give it 3.5. I'll do 3.5 hockey pucks because it's great. But there's a reason why it didn't make a sequel.
I disagree. I think this is 4.5 hockey pucks. The best hockey movie of all time is Slapshot, but this is a very close second. They're two different movies talking about two different things in professional hockey, but this is a treat and a delight. And I've seen this maybe 4 or 5 times now. It's endlessly rewatchable. I could watch it again tomorrow and I'd be fucking loving it. I love this movie. Check it out. 4.5 hockey pucks for me.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a high rating. I'm going to do 4 pucks as well. Because it's nonstop action. I mean, you do have to play along. There, I was like, oh, you know, shouldn't people be aware that the bombs are going off in the parking lot or the goons running in the stands? I forgave it because how ridiculous it was, but it was exciting. And yeah, 4.5. Or sorry, 4. And that, my folks, is the crossover episode.
Well, and I will say one thing that we do at the end of our episode is we ask if there's any plugs. If there's anything that you want to
know. What do you guys got the plug? Let's hear it.
I'm going to plug our podcast. Check out I Can't Believe You Made Me Watch That, a weekly podcast. In season 2, we're talking about the best movie from every year, starting in 1929 all the way up to present day. We are just using the best picture winner from the Oscars to do that. This week's episode, which Katie was on, was Chariots of Fire, another sports film. If you're into sports, maybe don't listen. It's about a couple runners who have like weird religious things going on in their lives. It's not very exciting. It's not nearly as exciting as this. So, but otherwise, check out our podcast. It's got a
killer theme song.
It has a baller theme song. It's the one place it beats this movie is Sudden Death doesn't have very good. It doesn't have a Vangelis score.
No, it doesn't have a good. Yeah.
It needs that. I
mean, it's mid-90s.
It's so close.
There's no electric guitar solo.
That's what it needs.
Aim?
I'm not really sure how you would go about doing this, but I remember in elementary school, we went to our elementary schools in a more poorer area of town. And I remember our gym teacher finding
Mrs. Makowick.
Yeah, finding business in town to sponsor the people that were lower income status so they could play sports. So if there's any way to, awesome. This is a hockey podcast, so that always stuck out to me. But if there's a way that you could find, if you're a local business or if you own a business, if you find a way that you could sponsor a person from a lower economic status that can play a sport, they really do change people's lives. So if you can help someone out in that way, do that.
Reach out to your local Pee Wee team and see if there's a way you can take care of like some of the fees or equipment stuff. I mean,
kids
for
grow
the
every year. You got to buy skates every year. Kids are growing. So,
let's get them in. It's the most expensive
suggestion,
sport.
Amy.
It's like the biggest barrier of entry of any sport. And like football is expensive, but like, God damn, is hockey expensive.
Yeah. And the travel is insane.
And like you said, the kids are growing. You got to get all this shit again every fucking year.
Yeah, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Anyway, great point, Amy. And you guys, thanks so much for doing this. I had a blast. And now I'm going to finish my beer. So cheers.
Cheers.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, the muscles from Brussels.
I drank all of my alcohol. It's all gone. All
right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.